Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things I love about Holy Week is that it's a week, right? Holy Week is an actual week, and so this week we have the chance with the various services that we do to literally walk not just the path that Jesus took, but in the time frame. That's what I love about it, the time frame. Here's what I mean. That doesn't happen in the rest of the liturgical year. In Christmas, we celebrate December 25th. That's the birth of the Savior, right? And on January 6th, we celebrate the coming of the Magi. When did they come? 4 months later, maybe 2 years later. It's not a week and a half, right? And then the day of Epiphany is too close. And then the season of Epiphany, we have Jesus teaching as an adult. When does that happen? 30 years later. And I understand you have 1 year of readings to cover the life and the work of Jesus, so you're not going to do it all in time. But beginning today, we actually have all of the days, all of the services of this week happen actually in the exact same time frame. Today is Palm Sunday. That means that this is the day when Jesus walks into Jerusalem with everybody waving those palm branches, which an usher gave them. Well, maybe there wasn't an usher right then, right? But they had those palm branches, and they were laying them in the street, and they were shouting out, "Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna to the coming Son of David! Hosanna! Hosanna! Lord, save us!" That's Palm Sunday. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking? We know what they have been thinking. Just a couple of weeks ago, we read the reading where they're thinking kingdom, right? They're thinking Jesus is going to rule and we're going to be on the inside. We know they were thinking that because two of the disciples come and say, "Hey, Jesus, let me sit on the right hand and let my brother sit on your left hand when you get to your kingdom." So how did Palm Sunday feel if you were thinking that? You were thinking, this is it, man. Jesus has come into the holy city. This is Jerusalem. This is the capital. And look, everybody's following us. We are about to reign. That's Palm Sunday, right? I want us to rehearse the rest of the week just a little bit. We do have the services. As I said, I'd encourage you to come to a couple, come to all of them. But this is what happens. Sunday, today, Jesus walks into the holy city, the throngs of people. He goes to the temple and he goes back out to Bethany. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he's teaching. He's teaching. If you want to hear what he's been teaching, this is fun to know. If you take notes, you can write it down. If not, you can at least hear it out loud right now. All four Gospels talk about Palm Sunday. And when does that happen? The reason I want to let you know when in the book it happens is that means that all the chapters after that happen in the next week, right? Jesus enters into the city. Here they are. Matthew 21, Mark chapter 11, which we just read, Luke chapter 19, and John chapter 12, can you imagine almost half of John's gospel is spent on 1 week of the life of Jesus, and read through those chapters and hear the teaching. And I want to add something, the teaching of our Lord, but can I say this too? The teaching and the arguing of our Lord, right? Aren't there those passages where Jesus is, what's he doing? Arguing with the priests, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees. And let me, show of hands, who here thinks that's good news that Jesus loved an argument? No one in this church loves an argument. That's not true at all. I'm seeing a couple belated hands. I've met you folks. Some of us, if you love an argument, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with a little banter back and forth about things that matter, right? About the truth of God. And when people don't buy it, we're allowed lovingly and gently, but arguing, it's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that myself. So Sunday, the entry, Monday to Wednesday, teaching and arguing, Thursday, the supper. And we'll gather and have the supper, and that night, the arrest. Friday, the cross. Saturday, a day of silence, right before Easter. What is going on, they're thinking. And Sunday, let's rehearse this, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Right? We'll get better next Easter, I hope, right? Let's get that then. But I want us to notice a couple things about Palm Sunday. The disciples nearly always have the wrong reaction to what Jesus is doing. Right? On Palm Sunday, throngs of people, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. What are the disciples thinking? They're thinking, this is great. This is great. The Lord is about to reign. It seemed great, but he's headed to the cross, right? On Friday, they see the crucifixion of Jesus. What are they thinking? This is terrible. This is disastrous. What is it? It's salvation. On Sunday, Jesus rises from the dead, and what are they thinking? This is great. And it is, but here's what they got wrong. They said, this is great, the Lord is risen, and what did they want to do? They wanted to grab onto him, right? They wanted to hold on, and they said, if Jesus is risen from the dead, we want to stay just like this forever. Is that what he's going to do? No. He's going to send into heaven and send the Holy Spirit. This is the thing to know about the disciples. They are perpetually not getting what Jesus is doing. So, before we point the fingers at them, let me ask you, how good are you at getting what God is up to? Right? That is a difficult thing as a believer, is it not, to understand what the Lord is doing in my circumstances. It's very confusing. And we have to admit this. We, most of the time, do not know enough to perceive what the Lord is up to. And if we don't perceive what he's up to, what do we have to do? We have to trust. We have to trust. Because what was Holy Week about? First of all, everything that Jesus had planned, but second of all, for their life and their salvation, just like us, right? It is tough to know what God is up to, but we're sure that he's up to something good. So, Palm Sunday. Several verses before Palm Sunday, you have these words in the Gospels. I always love it. It says that Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, right? He's teaching, he's gaining disciples, more and more people are following him. And eventually Jesus says, we're going to Jerusalem. The disciples say, Jesus, you can't go there, they'll kill you. He said, nope. He set his face to Jerusalem, he's going, he will not be deterred. And I love, the Bible gives us these little details. Jesus approached from the Mount of Olives, from the towns of Bethphage and Bethany. The reason I like those details, that means he's coming from the east. The Mount of Olives is 200 feet higher than the city of Jerusalem. If you've ever been there, Renee and I went to the Holy Land for our 25th wedding anniversary. If you go to the Holy Land, you go over to the Mount of Olives and the city lays there out before you. You can see the entire city of Jerusalem. It's beautiful. And that's the way Jesus is coming into the city. Bethany is the home of his friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. They'll spend every night there until the arrest. But I love these words from Jesus. Go to the village ahead of you. You're going to find a colt that no one's ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And we're used to the narrative, so we forget to put ourselves. Imagine putting yourself in the shoes of those disciples. Can you imagine if the Lord said to you, go into the next town, and when you find a car with the keys in it, bring it here. What's that called? Theft. Theft, right? I mean, so imagine he sends two disciples. They're thinking, he's the Lord, I guess we'll do it. But can you imagine going there and thinking you're going to find a colt in the streets, when you find it, untie it and bring it here? They're thinking, this has got to be weird, right? That's what they're thinking. What happens when they get there? There's a colt tied in the street that no one has ever ridden. The Lord needs it. That's the answer. I want to spend a couple seconds talking about this tricky word in Hebrew. Adonai, you've often heard it. They often shorten it to say Adon. It's a tricky word. Adon. It can mean just a nice form of address, like just sir. You might say politely, it's at a restaurant. Can I help you, sir? Adon. We heard this, by the way, when we were flying to Israel. We were on the Israeli National Airlines, El Al, and all the stewardesses are bilingual. They speak Hebrew and English because of who flies to Israel. And one of the stewardesses looked at me and spoke to me in Hebrew, and she ended by saying, Adon. it was kind of cool that she had called me a don, because you call people sir. And at the seminary, you learn just enough Hebrew. I understood what she asked me, and I responded in English because my Hebrew's not that good, right? But I knew what she said, and I responded in English. It was funny to see her have the two reactions. Her face was kind of weird, like, oh, I'm sorry I spoke Hebrew to an American. And then the second thing, her reaction she had was, but he understood what I said. It was funny. But so Adon can mean sir. It's just a polite form of address. But Adon can also mean someone like the governor. It can mean powerful or person of rank and privilege. Adon, governor. But it can also mean who else? Adon is the form of address to God. Which one did Jesus have in mind? If somebody asks you about what you're doing, you should say, the Lord, Adon, needs it. Who does he mean? God needs it. If God needs it, we should put it into his hands to use, right? It's important to notice that it's a donkey, too. It's not a war horse. We should know this. Jerusalem has been conquered many times. The most recent time here was 63 BC when the Roman general Pompey had conquered the city. He comes with an army, right? There's an army and a war horse and the pictures of we won, you lost. Jesus comes on a donkey. He's fulfilling Zechariah 9, of course. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. How else? Lowly and riding on a donkey, not a conqueror, but that's how he comes. But as we think about that little interchange, go to the village, you'll find a colt. If anyone asks you, say this, and they'll let you go. They go to the village, they find a donkey, they say those words, they let him go. This is what I want us to notice about this, is that we at times in our faith life have to find the miraculous in the small things. Right? That's a miracle, isn't it? Or we see the miracle of Jesus raises somebody from the dead. Wow, that's a miracle. How about when Jesus foretells little stuff like that? In the village, and probably he's talking about Bethphage, or probably in Bethany, and he says, when you get to Bethphage, you're going to find a donkey. What do they find? A donkey. Do we see that kind of stuff? In our life, when little things click into place, what do we usually call it? We often say that's coincidence. I'm not sure about that sometimes. I think sometimes we need to find the miraculous in the small things. Open the eyes and to spot them. To say sometimes that's the Lord's work. So then he goes into the city. What are they saying? Hosanna. Hosanna. Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. I want us to notice something. Those are very charged words. Hosanna means Lord, save us. Jesus is Lord. Guess who isn't Lord? Pontius Pilate. You think he noticed? Yeah, guess who isn't Lord? The Pharisees and the priests. They're not the Lord either. And blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. God had said that a son of David would always sit on the throne. That's Jesus. You know who it isn't? Pontius Pilate. He knows. He knows. And then these words, it seems almost an anticlimactic ending to that reading in Mark 11. It says that Jesus entered the temple courts and he looked around and it was late and he went home. I want us to notice something about it. Jesus went to the temple just to see it. That had been, Old Testament, that had been God's work among the people. The temple is the place where God's presence was. The temple is the place where God's word was proclaimed. The temple was the place where there was atonement for sins. Who's Jesus? The fulfillment of all that, right? If the temple is the presence of God among his people, what is Jesus? The presence of God among his people. The temple is for the proclamation of the word of God. What is every word that Jesus spoke? Word of God. And the temple was the place to provide atonement for sins by sacrificing the substitute. Who is Jesus? The substitute for the sins of the people. Can you imagine Jesus coming to God's old covenant work, the temple? It was the work, but Jesus is the fulfillment, the presence, the word, the atonement. And Jesus looks around and knows that he's that guy. And I want us to get this point. And he came anyway, right? He came anyway. Palm Sunday is wonderful. Hosanna. Can you imagine going into a town knowing if I walk into this town on Sunday, they'll kill me Friday? Can you imagine? And thinking on that, that he went. That he went. And he knows. This week, this holy week, this is why Jesus Christ has come, and he intends to see it through all the way to the end. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.